when the Torah describes a carbon mincha, which is presumably a carbon ola, which is bought by selling the can to four cattle. So the Torah uses a strange word to introduce it, the nefesh ki takriv carbon l'shem. Why is the word nefesh? Normally the word is adam ki akriv mikem, yesh other places. So Rashi interprets this that, well, this is a poor person, so he's more emotionally invested in it. Kilo hikriv is nafsho. And it's a way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to almost upgrade the feelings of the poor person. You may think you're only bringing some flour. You may think you're only bringing some oil. The rich person next to you is bringing this beautiful animal, this sheep, and you're throwing a little bit of cheap oil, but you don't have that much. And as long as you're emotionally invested, kilo hikriv is nafsho. The Netziv takes a totally, totally different approach. I'm not sure how this expresses itself halachically, but it's a fascinating concept. He says that all the korban minchas are essentially korbanos for bad midas. We think korbanos are only offered for violations of averos, or possibly for omitting a mitzvah esse in the case of a korban ola. But he feels that the korban mincha, the four types of flour offerings, which are we api halacha, are korban olas. That someone that can't afford an animal, they bring a korban ola for the same rules and regulations that govern a korban ola. He feels that these korbanos are offered for midos raos. So I'm assuming api halacha that the same, you don't bring a korban mincha if you have a midah ra. You have to bring a korban mincha as an ola if you're a poor person and you violated one of the infractions of ola. But when you bring the korban mincha, you're trying to address midos raos. It's a fascinating thing. I don't know how this expresses itself halachically, but let's just discuss how he interprets the psukim. Okay, he says that there are four minchas. We all know there are four types of minchas. The seles is regular flour, mafetanu is just regular baked in the oven, machavas and marcheshes are two different frying pans. The marcheshes is a deeper frying pan, which means there's more oil and it comes out a little softer. A machavas is a less deep, more shallow frying pans, so therefore it's less oil, it comes out a little more burnt. These are, and then of course you break them down to create a komets. So there are four types of minchas. It says the four types of minchas correspond to the four different types of bad midas. Like if we had to make a roster of negative toxic midas, we could probably come up with 15, 16, and come with a long list, right? Just look at I just think of my own life and come up with terrible midas. But he feels there are four arba avos nezikin. There are four, he doesn't use the word, there are four avos of midos. There are four states of mind, mentality, that serve as the sources for all the negative midas. One is being too happy all the time, too frivolous, too lighthearted, not serious enough. Just, I would, let's say, interpret that to being pleasure-seeking, fun-seeking, not being serious enough towards life. The other is being too serious and falling into depression and sadness and low self-esteem and despair. So one is too much simcha, one is too much itzvon ruach. One is lust. Lust for money, lust for women, lust for physical pleasure. And then the fourth, we call super mida, not that it's so great, but the super mida, because they are the source of all the negative midos, is too much anger and frustration and jealousy. So if you divide, let's say, the inner world into four quadrants, those would be the four quadrants. And every other mida would be almost like a graph. If you studied math, you'd fall into one of those quadrants. Too much happiness, too much despair and depression, too much lust and ambition for personal gain, and too much anger, frustration, jealousy, that whole quadrant. So because there are four negative midos, there are four different korban minchas that are available. And he says, which is just fascinating, I just don't know how to interpret this, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, you were able to identify where your midara came from, tag it to a particular quadrant, and bring one of the four korban minchas that corresponded to that quadrant. It doesn't say which one, like which mafetana corresponds to. Again, I don't know how to interpret this halachically, but at least conceptually, a korban mincha was meant to address a negative mida. Okay. A little bit later on, he talks about the fact that the word azkarata is mentioned about the mincha three times. The three mentions of azkarata. And the azkarata is the lasting impact of the korban mincha. And again, the pashut pshat is because the mincha has some very nice smelling spices. And smell is the sense that's most enduring and lasting. Right? It's hard for you to remember what you saw 3 weeks ago. It's hard for you to remember what you tasted 3 weeks ago. If you smell something very powerful, either something very aromatic or very odoriferous, you remember it. When's the last time you smelled something really bad? It's like you're right there. So therefore, when you smell the korban mincha, it's going to have a lasting impact beyond, let's say, just watching the imurim. The imurim don't smell bad. I mean, again, for us, they smell bad because we're not in contact with animals. But if you live a life with animals and you cut open an animal, you throw the animal in the mouth, it doesn't smell terrible. For us, we live in a much more sanitized world, so when we see a dead animal, like, we get all freaked out. It was nice to live with dead animals as a common practice. It wasn't an extreme smell, but the Ktaris, the Levona, excuse me, when the Karaminka was an extreme smell, in this case, an aromatic smell. So it says it three times. Why does it say three times? It says because there's a nexus of three elements when you have a Midara. This is fascinating to bring to our world. He says that generally these Midos roles don't just crop up from nowhere, but these bad Midos, these bad traits, again, one of those four quadrants, are product of an Avera. Basically, you committed a moral malfunction, and either metaphysically you're more distant from Hashem, or experientially, psychologically, that chait has generated some negative Mida within you. So stage one is the Avera. Stage two is it gives birth to a negative Mida or a negative inclination. Now at that point you have a choice. You can either fight that negative inclination, that negative Mida, and repair it on the spot. But if you don't, it's further corrosive and further poisonous, and then leads to part C, which is another Avera. So the structure would be a moral miscue creates a bad Mida, and the bad Mida, if left unchecked, can itself generate another Avera, and that's how he feels the Avera Gerus Avera. Avera doesn't just come out of nowhere. The Avera Gerus Avera is that the Avera creates a negative Mida, and the negative Mida then creates ruts of these cycles of behavior. And think about like the interaction between Midos and Averas. We normally divide them into two separate parts of our life. There are the Averos that we have to be careful about, and the Midos Ros. He feels is more of a cross-pollination, and the way that they impact each other is Avera, Mida, Avera. Avera, Mida, Avera. Because it's a three-part system to this moral malfunction, there have to be three mentions of Askara. So you should think about the Mincha three times when you're trying to address this sequence of three. So it's fascinating, the interaction between Midos, Ros, and Averos. It's fascinating how he maps the internal world of negative Midos. It's fascinating that there's a carbon dedicated to Midos, as I should cycle back to where it began. That's why the Torah uses the word Nefesh to introduce the carbon Mincha, because you're trying to address the flaws of the Nefesh, not necessarily the flaws of the Guf, which are Masim. So it's really very, very psychologically insightful. Again, I don't know how this emerges halachic. Could you just bring a carbon Mincha for a bad Midah? I don't know, but it's fascinating that maybe when you brought a mincha for an ola, you were instructed to keep in mind Midas Ras. So halachically, you couldn't just bring a mincha for a Midas Ra, but when you did bring a mincha as a carbon ola, again, an ola is a voluntary carbon, so you can't just bring a carbon anytime. But let's say I have a bad Midas, but I want to bring a kevis. Well, a kevis not addressed in the way that a mincha can, so it's hard to imagine. And the concept of trying to bring a carbon adava and have in mind that I want to improve my midos is fine, right? It's carbon adava, think whatever you want. But it's specifically a carbon mincha that addresses it. I don't know how that factors in. Okay? Thank you for coming, everyone. It's good to have little reinforcements there while all the guys are off.